Hey, it's spring this week, and the buzzing you hear may not be the bees. It's probably a drone. What does it take to become a remote pilot? And do you need a medical certificate to do it? All on this episode of the Mayo Clinic Clear Approach Podcast, your home for aerospace medicine that matters.
Welcome to this latest version of the podcast. I'm Mitch Nelson.
And I'm Clay Cole, your medical co-pilots coming to you from Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota.
Did you know that drones are the fastest growing segment of aviation in this country? As of last October, there were more than 850,000 drones registered with the FAA and more than 330,000 certified remote pilots.
Wow, that's impressive. You know, my sons were able to get some pretty spectacular views of our home in the valley that we overlooked last year. And I recall that the FAA was pursuing educational efforts with pilots, sort of finding some sort of harmony with aircraft that already occupy the skies.
Yep. The FAA actually has a drone safety day.
Huh.
Yeah. It's an annual campaign designed to educate drone users of the importance of flying safely. In fact, it's coming up pretty soon on Saturday, April 27th. You know, the FAA has tried to use this designated day to highlight societal, economic, and safety benefits of various drones while encouraging enthusiasts across the country to host safety events in their communities. You know, the FAA is promoting the phrase "fly right," with "right" being used as the acronym.
Another FAA acronym. So what is that anyway?
Well, it's register your drone and comply with remote ID.
Okay, that's the R.
Yeah, the R. Interact with others.
Okay, that's, I'll go with that I.
Gain knowledge.
Okay.
Have a safety plan.
I think they work pretty hard to get that one.
Definitely. And trust and train.
Yeah, it looked like when I started doing a little more investigation on this, the agency actually came up with a Drone Safety Day flyer. All right. So this thing's available online. It goes over how pilots and event organizers can get involved. And they have everything on that FAA website, from how to register for a local event, if you're a drone operator, to activities that can be coordinated, like cool things like a drone scavenger hunt or creating a video greeting with your drone.
Yeah, I think that's becoming very popular. And do you have to have a medical to operate a drone?
Well, not for general civilian uses for most small drones. You know, there are a number of requirements to become a remote pilot, and that would include being at least 16 years old. You got to be able to read, speak, write, and understand the English language. You have to be in physical and mental condition to safely fly a drone, which is not totally outlined by the FAA, but you do need to pass an initial aeronautical knowledge exam, and you have to do recurrency training every 2 years. The steps in the process, as outlined at the FAA, include obtaining an FAA tracking number by creating an IACRA profile. And IACRA stands for Integrated Airman Certification and Rating Application. So again, impress friends with your knowledge there.
In case you're on Jeopardy.
Exactly. So then you provide that prior to registering for your knowledge test. And of course, you have to show up with a government issued ID as you schedule the appointment for an FAA approved knowledge testing center. And once you get the test, they go over things like applicable regulations relating to small unmanned aircraft systems or drones, aviation weather sources, emergency procedures if your drone, I guess, goes haywire, radio communication procedures, determining the performance of your small and unmanned aircraft, the physiologic effects of drugs and alcohol. Also, there's a section on aeronautical decision making and judgment, and also operations in and around airports if that applies to you and your drone. There's also maintenance and pre-flight inspection procedures that are tested. And then ultimately, it's operating drones at night. Lots of stuff to learn if you're a drone pilot.
Yeah, it's not something you can just step into. There's definitely training involved to make sure that safety is a priority.
Well, Mitch, I know you can really step in it if you need to.
Absolutely. I heard the FAA's ARC for mental health and aviation medical clearances is supposed to be providing recommendations to the FAA very soon.
That's right. You know, the ARC, of course, another acronym here, right. Aviation Rulemaking Committee, was convened at the end of last year after the Inspector General's Office issued a report on pilot mental health challenges. So this report found that the FAA did indeed have a comprehensive set of procedures in place to evaluate a pilot's psychological and psychiatric health that included a framework of guidelines as well as some collaboration with the airlines in doing so. Reporting mental health conditions was seen as a stigma associated with mental health in general. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. The potential impact on one's career, of course, and the fear of financial hardship if a mental health condition was actually reported. And of course, with significant delays in reviewing some of these applications for special issuance, if an airman is on, say, for example, an antidepressant, it can be a considerable weight. And obviously, people have disability coverage if you're a professional pilot, but the clock ticks and that can run out as well. So this applied not only to pilots, of course, but also air traffic controllers. So the Inspector General's Office recommended to the FAA that they collaborate with airlines, airline pilot unions, and the aerospace medical community in general to conduct an assessment to identify ways to address barriers that discourage pilots from disclosing and seeking treatment for mental health conditions. Obviously, they want those things reported. And so a deadline of April 2024 was set for this group to come up with some recommendations. Following this, the recommendation from the IG's office was for the FAA to develop and implement policy and protocol revisions recommended from the initial assessment and to have that done by the end of September of this coming year. You know, that's kind of warp speed for the FAA.
Right. And that is certainly a welcome sign that there's a willingness to consider better ways to educate aviators. And for those wanting to do the right thing and, you know, not be penalized for doing that.
Thanks for joining us today on the podcast, and we look forward to having you join us on future episodes. Remember that if you encounter a health-related question pertaining to your aeromedical certification, you can reach out to our Clear Approach website at clearapproach.mayoclinic.org for an online consultation, and send your comments and suggestions for future podcasts to clearapproach@mayo.edu. Soft landings and make it a great day.